Name is Doug Bice and Market Development Director for the United Sorghum Checkoff Program.
So we are here at Commodity Classic, and we have just walked into where you're about to have a meeting for sorghum producers. And sorghum is a very interesting topic for California right now because of the water tolerance, drought tolerance of the plant. Tell me a little bit about why we do see more California producers growing sorghum.
Okay. Well, clearly there's a demand in a number of markets, and those markets for us, as we look at them, of growth opportunity are human food, pet food, and then what I'd call more of the general health areas, which includes nutraceuticals, prebiotics, probiotic, things of that nature. So that's another area or another health area where sorghum really has some great advances, a lot of good research that supports that. And the other area, of course, is livestock feed. So you're seeing a lot of advancement there, especially in the swine and the poultry industries as well. So those would be what I would call the main areas of focus. And again, the fact that you mentioned of the drought tolerance issue, well, that's inherent to sorghum based on its leaf characteristics as well as its extensive root system. So you know, one of the things that we promote from a sustainability component is the reduction in water usage as compared to comparable crops. So that's a big plus.
So I'm just going to make myself real vulnerable here for a moment and admit to you that when I think of sorghum, I always think of livestock food. But you mentioned human food. Are we seeing more human food with sorghum?
Absolutely. So if you look at, for example, multigrain Cheerios, gluten-free Special K, Panera's, Kind Bars now has two different varieties that have sorghum formulations, with more to come, as they tell us. You look at Kashi Foods, K-A-S-H-I. That's another big area that we've seen a lot of growth with that product line. So we've seen phenomenal growth in those areas, but we're also seeing it promoted extensively. For example, we've been on the Good Morning America show here recently, the Balancing Act Quick Bite show with Chef Ralph Pagano. We're affiliated with Iron Chef Mark Forgione, who's done a number of promos for us, both at food shows as well as his restaurants that he owns in New York. Great performances, catering. I believe they're the largest catering company in New York City. They now have brought sorghum into their product line that they're showing and selling. So anyway, bottom line, we're moving in all these areas. We do a number of food trade shows to help promote sorghum. We just started that last year. And clearly with all the benefits of sorghum insofar as its versatility, its complementary nature, its nutrient profile, cost. Cost is a big one, especially when you compare us to other ancient grains and whole grains that have to be imported in. Well, you've got an ancient grain in your own backyard, so we like to say ancient grain, American grown, and that right there should tell you several things, but not the least of which is, you know, cost competitiveness, because that grain is here. You reduce a lot of your logistics with something that's grown in your own backyard. So
let's talk about growing sorghum. As we mentioned, it's picking up more in California, and of course there are other states where it's been grown for a very long time. What are some of the states that we do see a lot of sorghum production?
Right. The two big ones are Kansas and Texas, historically. Those have been the largest producers. And even within those states, we're seeing growth from prior years. We see the export markets growing quite dramatically. So those that are in that Midwest area, you know, along the rivers and the Gulfport areas, really benefit strongly from that opportunity with exports going out. So we've seen growth in the last few years in Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana that we hadn't seen before. But our two biggest producers are Kansas and Texas.
Do you get much Florida, Alabama, and Georgia?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because those are areas that we're looking to develop. Now, when we think of sorghum in those areas, historically it's sweet sorghum, which is a whole different variety, a whole different classification of sorghum. It's what we affiliate with the sorghum syrup. Some might call it molasses, depends on what part of the country you're from. But in that southeast part of the country, that is predominant there. Yes, we are seeing more with respect to the grain component. But that's really where we're putting a lot of focus. That's an area we strongly want to develop. We're talking with a number of folks to help us in that area, but It's kind of uncharted territory right now. So that's where we have tremendous growth potential. Look, climate-wise, it works. The seed development matches up well with, you know, that geography, that topography. And, we're looking to really develop those areas. So
speaking of development and the future, what do you see for the future for American-grown sorghum?
Yeah, so a lot of neat opportunities with respect to the pet food industry. If you go to our website, sorghumcheckoff.com, you can get a pretty good idea of the high-end, the premium dog foods, cat foods, for example, that are utilizing sorghum-based foods. And we have a nice testimonial on there from not only researchers who have been working with sorghum over the years, blending it into food formulations, but also those that live it and breathe it on a daily basis. And we've got testimonials from them. They'll only utilize, for example, sorghum at their training centers, their grooming, boarding kennels, things of that nature. And we love having people speaking on our behalf. So that's one area. I mentioned nutraceuticals and prebiotics. We see one of the great benefits from sorghum is digestive health and how it helps gut bacteria in human as well as in pets. And that has really been a big plus, and that's really taking off quite well. Aquaculture is another area. So we're seeing all this tilapia, catfish, bass farms that are now looking at sorghum both as a grain, as a flour, in different forms that are really big, for example, in the export markets, but also here at home too. So that's another area that's a great growth opportunity for us as well. You know, that just gives you an idea of a few of the areas, but the pet food, the aquaculture, the prebiotics are definitely growth opportunities. And then also the fourth item that I'd mention is food aid. We're seeing a lot there with respect to, for example, what we've experimented with is sorghum soy and sorghum cowpea blends that are made into porridges to feed those that are malnourished. And we've done a lot of feed trials out in Africa, Tanzania specifically, and that has been a big hit there. So we're looking for commercial development, commercial support to help on a mass basis provide sorghum formulations for those populations as well.
So this is something that really could help feed the world.
Without a doubt. And of course, sorghum is, you know, quite popular in Africa inherently. Back to the issue of drought tolerance, think about some of the sub-Sahara areas where they don't get much water and they have to make, maximum, optimum efficiency out of their crops. Well, guess what? Sorghum is that crop. So they're familiar with it. What we're trying to do in these food aid projects, though, is, you know, make, again, optimum nutrient profiles for them. So on our sorghum soy blend, for example, it'll be like 65% sorghum, 35% soy. So you're trying to get the most you can out of the macronutrient profile, the most you can out of that micronutrient profile, and again, optimize it for basically a 2,000 calorie per day input that you try to provide, again, for those populations. And so works out perfectly from a growth perspective, a logistics perspective, and then the nutrient profile perspective.
All right. Any other thoughts for our listeners this morning, Doug?
Well, you know, keep your eyes open. We have a number of things that are coming down the pike with respect to not only just our trade shows, but our promotional opportunities. We always welcome, you know, anybody who has thoughts on how they want to advance sorghum in any of these industries. Again, livestock, could be dairy. Could be meat applications, whatever. And then, of course, human food. We work with a number of different chefs, culinary experts. We're working now with supermarket registered dietitians, groups like that. We'll become more prominent in the protein area as well as the arena of diabetics because of, the inherent nutrient profile there. And then, of course, pet food, you know, so we're really trying to make a big push there as well. And, you know, the thing that I've learned firsthand, I have four dogs of my own. They're all big dogs, mastiffs. And what I try to do is I went and converted from some of the old time dog foods that I used to use to the high end premium sorghum based foods, and world of difference on what I saw with the health of my dogs and their coat health, skin health, everything, as well as gut health. And so those are things that I really try to put out there and get across to folks. But we're always open to ideas that anybody wants to look at research. That's what we do, is promotion, research opportunities, and, you know, willing to talk with anybody about things like that. So
thanks so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it, Doug.
My pleasure. Love to do it.
All right, Doug Weiss with the United Sorghum Checkoff Program. This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I am your host, Sabrina Hill, and we'll be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.